And I'm Kelly McEvers in Culver City, California. Being 15 years old means very different things depending on where you live. In some countries, for girls, it's the point at which choices are made about whether you should continue with your education, get a job, or get married. These choices are often made by family members or dictated by your culture.
Over the next few weeks, we'll meet girls from around the world who are trying to make their own choices. And Kelly's going to start us off today with a look at what being a 15-year-old girl means in El Salvador.
El Salvador is one of the most violent countries in the world. It's a place where street gangs rule, so the choices girls are making can mean life or death. I recently traveled to El Salvador, and I should mention that some of the details you'll hear in this story right from the start are tough. We witnessed some disturbing scenes.
Okay, thanks for the warning, and let's take a listen to how that trip began.
So it's our first morning in the capital, San Salvador. We've just woken up. We're eating breakfast, and we get a call from a local reporter we know. There's a crime scene, he says. A girl. You should come. We take a taxi to what looks like a major intersection in the city.
Where's the actual scene? Do we know?
The girl is over there.
Oh, that's her. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. The girl is dead. She's 15 years old, and her name is Marcela. Witnesses say she was executed by a gang member. All we can see are her plaid pants and gray t-shirt. Her family's here now, right behind us in a pickup truck. We can't tell you their names because it would put them in danger. Marcela's mother is too upset to talk, so we talk to her grandmother. She says Marcela left the house that morning with her sister.
When did they go missing? When did they go missing?
Cuando desaparecieron.
Sí, ella en la cruzada de la calle la
mataron. This morning.
Ella a trabajar,
they were going to work.
Marcela and her sister made tortillas.
No trabajar, iba.
Marcela's grandmother says the girl's boyfriend was a bus driver in a gang-controlled neighborhood. First, he got threats. Help the gang or we'll kill you. Then he disappeared. Then Marcela started getting threats. And now this. Her body's just laying on the ground while people drive to work.
Her head's resting up against her arm, and her other hand is on her arm, and she does look like she's asleep.
We find the police investigator on the case. He says Marcela was attacked from behind.
But she was shot?
Sí, con disparo de arma de fuego, al parecer dos.
Shot twice in the head, okay.
He says Marcela's sister witnessed the killing. She's now in police protection. We ask him, why would a gang member kill a 15-year-old girl?
Puede ser que por no andar con un miembro de pandilla o se negó a hacerle algún favor a la pandilla.
He speculates that it might be because she didn't want to be someone's girlfriend or she didn't want to do a favor to the gang.
Is this normal? Does this happen to young women a lot?
Es a diario, básicamente. La violencia está...
Every day.
It happens every day. The police later release Marcela's sister from their protection. Even though local reporters tell us the gangs will probably now go after her, too. The family tells us their only option is to leave the country. Ideally, go to the U.S. But they've got about $200 to their name. It's not nearly enough to pay a smuggler. All of this happened on our first day in El Salvador. If this is how bad it is, we wondered, how do girls live their lives? To answer that question, we go to a school and start interviewing 15-year-old girls. One stands out. Her name is Abby Salas, and she wants to study law. She says her favorite thing is to sit down with some hot chocolate and a book. That, and go to church. It was at church that Abby met her best friend, Jessica. Abby and Jessica used to go to school together. Then another girl at the school started threatening Jessica.
At first it was kind of like a game, like if you don't give me this, you're going to be in trouble. If you don't do this, you're going to, you know, like a little game.
Give me that blouse, the girl would say to Jessica. Give me those jeans.
And it got to the point when she wanted help cheating on tests. And the threat was always like, we're going to be waiting for you outside of class to beat you up.
It might sound like pretty typical bullying, but this bully's brothers were in a gang. One day, the girl asked Jessica for a pencil. Jessica only had one pencil, so she said no. A few days later, Jessica went to the store.
La mamá dice que se fue alrededor de las 3:30 de la tarde.
Her mom says the girl left at 3:30 in the afternoon, and then it was 4, and then it was 5, and this was a store that was right on the corner, and we haven't heard from her since.
Allá está la cocina.
And now, ever since her best friend Jessica disappeared, this is where Abby spends her time.
Okay. It's not messy. What are you talking about?
Her bedroom. If she's not in school or helping with dinner, she's here. And it's her choice. It's basically a self-imposed lockdown. After what happened, she's too afraid to go out. And her parents are cool with that. But her parents won't talk about what happened. They don't want to scare Abby's little brother and sister.
But who does she get to talk to about it?
It's too dangerous to talk about that. If someone hears you talk about it, something bad could happen to you.
The family of Abby's best friend, the girl who disappeared at the store that day, has moved away. They're now in hiding from the gang, and they're planning to come to the U.S. Then I'll have nothing left of my friend, Abby says. She'll just be in my head. After we meet Abby, we start asking people in El Salvador, is it normal for girls to shut themselves in the house all day? Oh yeah, they tell us. It's the only way to stay safe from the gangs. In other words, El Salvador is a country of girls with two main choices. Hide from the gangs or give in to them. We do find an exception to that rule. Her name is Stephanie Noemi. Her friends call her Mimi. She's 15 years old, and this is what she does on a Friday night. Puts on bright yellow coveralls, chants this prayer, and starts the overnight shift as a volunteer ambulance worker with a group called the Comandos de Salvamento, the rescue squad. Mimi joined the squad when she was 10. Relatives suggested she try it. Now she says it's the only way to get out of the house, but stay out of trouble. Her neighborhood is completely controlled by gangs. As a paramedic, Mimi says she likes being able to help people who are victims of the gangs.
It feels good to be somebody else's shield.
And then, again, we see El Salvador's gang violence up close. A woman stumbles into the commando's headquarters, and there are two men with her.
She what? Gang members threw her through a bus.
Get her in quick, the men say. There might have been witnesses.
So, her little boy is with her. He's got blood on his shirt. One side of her face is totally bloody.
The commandos bandage the woman. Mimi cleans the boy and puts them both into an ambulance that will take them to a hospital. Mimi tells us she wants to stay in El Salvador. She says if she helps people like this, maybe somebody someday will want to help her too. This is one of the last places we went in El Salvador. Last year, tens of thousands of migrants from Central America came to the U.S. Many of them were under 18. Now, Mexico is catching them and sending them back before they ever get to the U.S. If you're from El Salvador and you get caught, you end up in this room. It's where we meet a girl who we're not even sure will make it to 15. We can't tell you her name, because to do that would be to put her in a lot of danger. We ask her where she got caught.
In Tampico.
In Tampico.
Look at you two.
My colleagues and I are laughing because we can't believe a 13-year-old girl made it all the way to Tampico, Mexico. That means she went more than 1,000 miles and was only a few hours from the U.S.
Solo faltaban 7 horas para.
But the girl's smuggler left her alone on a bus. She fell asleep, got caught by Mexican immigration, and was sent back here. We ask her why she tried to leave El Salvador, and that's when the laughing stops.
Mi papá me quería secuestrar, matar.
The girl's father is in one of El Salvador's two main gangs. He's in prison for murder. And now he says if his ex-wife, the girl's mother, doesn't give him $50,000 when he gets out, he'll have the girl raped and killed. His own daughter. This is how gangs work in Central America. The family doesn't have $50,000. The girl's mom is in the U.S. Her grandmother works in a street stall. Her grandfather doesn't have a job. It's a catch-22. A catch-22 that so many girls in El Salvador find themselves in. If this girl stays,
she could be killed. But if she tries to go to the U.S. to claim asylum, she'll probably get caught again in Mexico. Or worse, we know from people who study these migration routes, she could be robbed or kidnapped or raped or killed along the way. I don't want that to happen, she says. I'm not one of those kids who waits till the last minute to make things right. I don't have to let these things happen to me. Pretty soon, it's time for the girl to go. Her grandpa's here to pick her up. We get her family's phone number and make plans to see her again. But we don't see her again. The voice of the interpreter you heard in this story is NPR's Jasmine Garst. Since we reported this story, the last girl we heard from is still in El Salvador with her grandparents. They've taken her out of school, and they won't tell us anything else. Mimi, the paramedic, is still with the commandos. Abby, whose best friend disappeared, is still staying at home. Her latest aspiration is to be the director of NASA. We were not able to make contact again with the family of Marcela, the girl who was killed in the street.
It's All Things Considered from NPR News.